Based on the fear that I've seen and the silliness that I've seen going on, even last night at a Trump rally, based on the words that I have been shared and the pictures that have been posted, and the contentiousness and the rhetoric and the intolerance I've heard, I think Christians and the church that compromise them may need to repent. I don't see much prayer, even in this church. I don't see many people seeking or searching for wisdom. I don't hear them pointing to the larger truths that really are self-evident. I think we've forgotten the larger picture, the greater power, and ultimately the good news. That's what we need to hold on to, as Psalm 22 talks about. It says this words, for royal power belongs to who? The Lord. He rules. He rules all the nations.
Thanks for visiting the Point of Hope website. Point of Hope is a community of individuals who realize that life is a process. We welcome the skeptical, the curious, the annoyed, and the seeker, because we don't have it all figured out, and we are with you in the search for how God wants to bring completeness to our lives. Now, we join with you in listening to this message.
All right, so I decided today to call an audible. I knew that Ryan was going to be here. And no, I'm kidding. I'm just teasing him today. Now, I was thinking for a couple weeks now, I've been thinking about this. Three things made me change my sermon plan for today. One was, it seems that there's a significant amount of angst and fear and trepidation going on in our world, especially here in America. And I thought, well, we got to talk about that as we enter especially the election coming up. Secondly, a couple weeks ago, I went to a worship event, and Max Lucado said something about Abba Father, which we talked about here in the song before, but sets the stage. And I, you know, we saw Abba Father at work in the baptism. And I, you know, it ties into Jesus' words, which are, do not be afraid, little flock, in Luke 12, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. So I thought that was a second reason. And the third reason why I decided to change things is little Wyatt. He is displaying what God is calling us to have during this time in our country, which is a simple childlike faith, an abiding trust, no matter what happens, which is now something that Jared and Mallory have to quarterback with little Wyatt, and all their peeps got to help nurture in this little guy's life. So if you don't mind, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to little Wyatt. And through that, I'm talking to all of us, okay? So we're going to do that. And maybe as we look at his pretty blue eyes, you know, and as he sees the world with his newfound faith, maybe we can all recapture the simplicity of what it is to walk with Jesus, okay? So we're going to do that today. So I'm extending last week's sermon on faith to this week is what I'm doing. So, Lil White, I don't know what you're thinking right now, but you were gifted to be in this great country of ours that's going through kind of a difficult time, won't we all agree? There's a lot of conflict and divisiveness going on in our country, and that's unfortunate. We want things to be all good. They're not right now. They're conflicted. And you've been probably napping a lot, I'm sure. I mean, the only news you probably caught was your dad giving the forecast, right? But the forecast politically has been an interesting one, and it's been going back and forth, but there's storms that are on the horizon. There's a lot of hot air, Wyatt, that's been going on politically, and I know you've been blowing a lot of hot air through that little diaper of yours so you can connect. So I've been told, by the way. Truth is, America is polarized, which is point one in our outline. Now, this is not a new thing for our country, right? I mean, there's always been stuff. I mean, there was the Iraqi war that happened, Desert Shield, Desert Storm, whether we should have gone in the first place, that happened, right? We had the gas price, the gas thing back with Carter, that was terrible. I mean, we had the 60s, and that was tumultuous. And then there was World War I and World War II. Should we go in or shouldn't we? I mean, there's been this conflict that happens at times in our country. In fact, one of our greatest presidents, Abraham Lincoln, quoted Jesus during the time of conflict going on with this around the Civil War period or before it. Abraham Lincoln was running for U.S. Senate of Illinois, and he quoted this scripture, Mark 3. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. Though Lincoln lost that race to Douglas, he eventually, in time, as he pointed out this problem that no one wanted to face, ended up being the president to deal with this problem. Now, back to our country right now. The polls say we are a deeply divided country, this year especially. And it's not like it's a new thing. It's been happening now for several elections. I'm not saying that we can't have differences of opinion either. I think that's important. We always are going to. But the problem is when we stop listening, which seems to be the norm these days, when we question the motives of the other side, paint them as evil, and are unwilling to work together, the foundation of what holds us together is broken. And Christians, it is our job to not be part of that, not to get that into our being. An interesting stat that I came across is this. 20 years ago, approximately 17% of Republicans and Democrats viewed the opposing party as very unfavorably. Today, the number is 40%. It's doubled in 20 years. We're in trouble, folks. Here's another interesting statement that I came across. I read that more adults would rather their kids marry someone of another religion than to marry someone from the opposing political party. Is that whacked up or is that just me talking? I mean, faith is so much more important than all this stuff. One congressman gave this analysis that I think we may need to hear, but we really don't want to. He said, Congress is not the cause of our divisiveness as a country. It's just a reflection of it. Today I'm asking you to look in the mirror a little bit. Yes, I'm aware we've had a bit of trepidation about talking about political issues in church. I'm probably the one that lines up first, so I'm not here to tell you where to vote. But I'm telling you to vote. I'm not telling you what characteristics to look for, but I'm telling you to have character as you look for them. I think both parties get some things right and some things wrong. The issues we're facing aren't easy, nor are they simple and need simplistic solutions. I mean, you can justify the Democratic side point of view by cherry-picking scriptures, and you can do the same with the Republican. Every generation, folks, has disagreements. In fact, in Jesus' day, there were a few factions that wrestled over power. If you remember, they were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, and the Essenes. They were jockeying for power, and bad things were happening as a result. And Jesus was there in the midst of all that, pointing to a larger plan and a bigger thing. I think we've lost, even in the church, a little bit of the civility that we need to have as a nation. Where we hold our own views and recognize that others have views, and for good reason. Now, I stated the obvious about what's going on in our country. So let's talk about what I really want to talk about, which is how we should act as Christians. Let's go there. Second thought. You ready, Wyatt? Yeah, he's ready. He's sleeping. I have that effect on people. I don't know what it is. Reflect Christ always, and I added here, especially during the election season. We aren't supposed to be Christ-like just some of the time, but all the time. We're not supposed to be Christ honoring just when we're at church or when things are going well. We're to be Christians, to be Christ-like always, always, especially when we're in the midst of crisis and controversies and contentiousness. And sometimes, let's face it, we act more like the world than we do people that are outside of this world in one sense. We can model Christ to little Wyatt by first continually practicing love. I mean, didn't Jesus say to love our enemy and pray for those that hate us? Paul defined love this way in 1 Corinthians 13. And as we approach the election, let me ask how you're doing with this. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever. It's an interesting thing to think about as applying this litmus to how you approach the election. Really, how is your faith doing? Are you being a light in the midst of the darkness? Are you being a source of hope in an arena that seems to sense more and more hopelessness? In Acts 2:47 is interesting. It tells us that what we're supposed to do as a church is build goodwill. It says in Acts 2:47, they shared everything, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. So as they were doing goodwill and good things, here's what happens. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Good attitudes and deeds produce goodwill. And goodwill leads to the opportunity to share the good news, right? Which brings to a life change, a new life that can come to know Christ Jesus, right? How we handle things shouldn't separate us from the world, but it should build a bridge to another world. Are you doing it in this election? In the gospel, Jesus was challenged about government, and he looked at a coin that had the emperor's face on it, and he gave it to the Pharisees, and he said these words, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God." So God wants you to pay your taxes. He wants you to obey the government laws. 1 Peter 2 talks about how we're supposed to submit, hard word there, submit to honor and respect heads of state and government officials. And of course, we want to do that as long as it lines up with Scripture. But 1 Timothy also tells us that what we should be about during this whole time is prayer. This is a big thing, and it should be before the election, during the election, and after the election. This is one of the things the church should be about. Let's read it. 1 Timothy 2. I'll go there. I have it here. I urge you first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleasing God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Here Paul tells us to pray so that our leaders receive God's blessing. Are we doing that? Are we just, even during this election period, are we just praying one side? He wants them to receive his wisdom to rule, and he wants them to draw closer to God. And we can do that through our prayers. Being good citizens means remembering God is not a Democrat or Republican. He doesn't ride the back of a donkey or an elephant. No, God doesn't take sides. He came to take over, right? Isn't that what it's about? But he wants us to do what all good citizens do. It's our duty. One of our duties is to vote. I've heard some Christians tell me that they're not going to vote this election. I mean, come on, that's wimping out. We are part of this government, and the way that it's organized is to be a good citizen means to vote. I don't know what you vote, but God calls you to vote. And just because it's difficult and just because you don't like the choices doesn't mean you aren't called to do something about it. What we can teach Wyatt is, and how to be a responsible citizen is also by doing the hard work of researching, looking into the platform, taking the time and doing the work of getting informed about the issues and the candidates, to look into Scripture and line up what we have, what our thoughts with what we do, not just to listen to the attack ads on TV, which make me sick, or read the editorial pages in the paper, which are usually biased one way or another. Psalm 25 says, seek to cover what is concealed. Seek to understand what their morality is, their platform is, what their goals and strategies are, and what you think God is calling for. On top of that, if and when possible, we want our leaders to embrace the moral code and the Christian beliefs that we hold dear. I'm not saying to throw your Bible out. I'm saying to open it up and let that be your guide. Finally, we can teach little Wyatt during this difficult time in our life that he can be, that with God's help, he can remain ready and steady. I hear Wyatt's already trying to be ready, right? I heard that Kareem told me that when he sleeps, he likes to crack open his eyes. So he's always wanting to make sure he knows what's going on, right? So he's sleeping, but he's always watching. He has this intuitive sense about him to make sure things are okay. What is innate to Wyatt needs to become second nature to us Christians. Truth is, beyond this election is an ongoing struggle that God talks about so often in Scripture. Between good and evil, right? Between justice and injustice, between truth and error, between Satan and God, between heaven and hell. That's really the battle. It's not the election. There's something much deeper than it. The devil seeks to use elections, the parties that make them up, the systems themselves, the candidates, and even the prognosticators and us who vote to further his plan rather than God's. This election is not a battle between just good and evil, like every election is. But it does accentuate the ongoing battle between them that we're a part of. Just look at the fruits of what we've seen in the election this year. The ads, the talk, the fear, the divide. Is God winning or is the devil right now, folks? Look at it in your own life. Now, I watch Fox News and I watch CNN and MSNBC, and the way they talk about things makes me sick. But I still watch them because I try to be informed. The election ultimately isn't the issue. It's just a symptom of what's really going on. The true enemy is not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or, for that matter, Hillary or Trump. Ephesians 6 tells us it's the devil, and we should prepare for it by putting on our onesies, our spiritual onesies, as Paul says, Put on the full armor of God so that you can fight against the devil's evil attacks. Our fight is not against people on earth, nor political parties, I would add, but against the rulers and authorities and the powers of this world's darkness, against the spiritual powers of evil in the heavenly realm. Amen? Okay, we got our eyes on straight here? Since I've been brought up, I think there's been sometimes an overemphasis on the enemy, the devil. But I want to remind us that we have a God who's the victor and has given us the victory. Amen? So let's go to the other side here. Let's end on a good note. Point three, remember, God is sovereign. Based on the fear that I've seen and the silliness that I've seen going on, even last night at a Trump rally, based on the words that I have been shared and the pictures that have been posted and the contentiousness and the rhetoric and the intolerance I've heard, I think Christians and the church that compromise them may need to repent. I don't see much prayer, even in this church. I don't see many people seeking or searching for wisdom. I don't hear them pointing to the larger truths that really are self-evident. I think we've forgotten the larger picture, the greater power, and ultimately the good news. That's what we need to hold on to, as Psalm 22 talks about. It says this words, for royal power belongs to who? The Lord. He rules. He rules all the nations. You know, the president may be one of the most powerful positions in the world, but it's nothing compared to God. We can't forget that. Do you hear hope in those words right there? God's not left the planet. He's not forsaken his plans, nor has he lost some of his power. He may give us a choice in this country, but he doesn't squelch his voice, right? It doesn't. No matter what we do, he's going to have the last word. He allows us to vote, but it does not diminish his rule. The epicenter of Christ's kingdom is not located at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, okay? It's not. The purposes of God have never been thwarted at the hands of man ever in history. God's still in control. Let's not forget that. I can tell you what exactly will happen on November 9th. It will bring another day of God's perfect sovereignty. And the same thing is going to happen on November 10th. He will still be in charge. His throne will still be occupied. He will still manage the affairs of the world. All right? This is what we need little Wyatt to own. When our plans or his plans change, or the guy or gal that we want isn't elected or is elected, God's still in control. God trumps Trump, amen? And God has more experience than Hillary, and his server has never and never will be compromised by foreign hostiles. That I can tell you, as Trump says. Amen? All right. Got to joke about it a little bit. We can tell little Wyatt today and coming Tuesday and the Wednesday that follows, don't fear, God cares. Truth is, voters on both sides have been a little entertained by all this stuff going on, right? It's dark, but it's true. And people on both sides feel frustrated, even a tad embarrassed by all the stuff going on. There is a visceral fear that we can tap into, an angst that is there. I mean, it's even going on in the stock market. But the good news for us Christians is that God cares about whatever is important to us, whatever is going to affect us, whatever we're concerned about, God is concerned about. So God's weighing in here. God cares about what affects his children, what is going to impact his kingdom. God cares about how our society will be governed. He does care about these things. In fact, the Bible reminds us that he makes rulers rise and fall to accomplish his will, period. So fear should never overpower our faith. Is it right now? I mean, 2 Timothy says these words, hold on to them, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a power and love and self-discipline. We're on the other side. It doesn't matter what happens because we have God who's strengthening things and organizing things. Sometimes it's easy to get caught up in all the media hype, the election ad rhetoric, and forget that God is in complete control, because he is. As God reminds Israel during this difficult time, so he reminds us this day through Isaiah. So don't worry, because I'm with you. Don't be afraid, because I'm your God. I will make you strong and I will help you. I will support you with my right hand that saves you. All right? So little Wyatt can chill, like he is doing right now. I don't know if you have heard how God rules through the right-hand kingdom, which is the church and the spiritual side, but how he also rules in the left-hand side, which is governments. God-given rule of secular government is to maintain justice and righteousness. That's the role of government, to make and keep laws that establish order and protect and care for the people and create an environment where peace and people can flourish with their families. But in both kingdoms, the left and right kingdom, let's not forget that God's in control. We may decide how we choose our leaders, but in both kingdoms, God is the one that's over them. The consequence of their decision may be something that we have to deal with, but ultimately, God is in charge. I mean, at the end of the day, Romans 13 is a great scripture to hold on to as we talk about elections. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, all right? We're supposed to bend a knee to them as long as they align with God. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. For the governing authority is God's servant for your good. He is the servant of God, an avenger. It goes on to say, therefore, one must be in subjection. Ooh, there's that word again. Not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. Yeah, I know that hurts. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. That the people that we elect are agents. I could keep going, but I'll stop there. Of God, ultimately. Let's be clear. We are not voting for the pastor of the United States. Nor are we voting for the monster in chief of our country. We are voting for the president. We are voting because God wants us to and because we have a vested interest in who ascends the seat of power. We are voting to honor God by choosing in our reason someone that most aligns with our Christian beliefs and we believe will take our country and, yes, the church in a direction where it can continue to extend its grace and power. Perhaps it's good for us to see how God has worked through leaders in the past. Now, this is an interesting thing to accomplish his will. So I thought I'd bring in some history lessons for you real quick. The first one I want to bring up is Pharaoh. Pharaoh was not a nice guy. If you remember, Pharaoh was the guy that was a taskmaster and really hurting his people. And there were several times that Moses went there and tried to get Pharaoh to release the people through different events, plagues and that. And it says here in Scripture, but the Lord hardened his heart to Pharaoh, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had spoken to them. And God hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he could show forth his glory. So God used Pharaoh to accomplish his will and to show the power that he had. Second thought, Nebuchadnezzar was the person that was picked by God to go and to actually spank Israel for being really bad. And he was raised up by God to go and do this very thing. And Nebuchadnezzar had a lot of pride, too, and arrogance. He was a terrible, terrible person. They've uncovered things that he did through history that is just shocking. Yet God used this guy. And in the midst of his pride, Daniel reminded Nebuchadnezzar that he removes kings and set them up. So, Nebi, you better mind your manners. And he didn't for a while, and God made him crazy for 7 years. Read the book for more. My point is that this guy was evil, and God used him to accomplish his purposes. Next person, real quick in the Bible, Cyrus. Cyrus was an evil guy in charge of the Medes and the Persians. And he's the one that rooted out Babylon and took over. And he was the world power. And it says these words. God says these words about evil Cyrus, who was not a believer. God's message to his anointed to Cyrus, whom he took by the hand to give the task of taming the nations, of terrifying their kings. He gave him free reign, no restrictions. He said, Cyrus, you're my guy. Do what you will. Make this world peaceful. And he was not. He was a very powerful man. And the last one I want to give you is Jesus. Pilate was not a nice guy. He's a weak-kneed guy that was kind of leaning toward whatever would be most expedient for him. But God set Pilate up in there. In fact, they're having this conversation, Jesus is, with Pilate. And Pilate says, you better talk. You know, I'm the guy that can, you know. And Jesus answered him, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given from above. What's the point? God makes leaders rise. God makes leaders fall. God makes kingdoms rise. God makes kingdoms fall. Ultimately, God's in charge. All right? That's the good news. He can use anything, and he does. All right, let's go to the last one. I know little Wyatt doesn't fully comprehend the political choices. That's why he sleeps so well. But one thing I do know, that through this gift of faith that this little guy has been given today, no matter what happens here, he and all of us who believe have a great future there in heaven. Revelations 21 paints a picture. I won't go there, but heaven's going to be a great place. And heaven begins now. Right, in one sense, because we have God. We're with God, and we always will be. But heaven is going to be different than this place. Don't forget that, folks. We must remember to not get too hyped up in all the present and near future things, which may or may not happen, and get hoped up on heaven, which will happen, friends, and is now happening because we know Jesus is Lord. Proverbs 3, a great scripture of mine that I lean on all the time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding or voting. In all your ways, even your voting, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You today acknowledging just simple truth that You are Lord. We pray that You would strengthen our faith, help us to see beyond what is into what You promise. Help us hold on to the things that are real, which is the things in Your Word, and the faith that we hold on to, which is a gift of grace, more than all the things of this world. Forgive us for getting the very important truth that we are called to be light in the midst of the darkness, which seems to be very dark right now. Bless us, give us a buoyant spirit, and we pray that You lead us in our voting in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
We hope that the message met with your needs today. The community of believers at Point of Hope would be blessed if you would care to visit with us. You will find our address and phone number on the contact page of this website, which is www.pointofhope.org. If you have a particular need for prayer or need to know more about Point of Hope, send your prayer need or request for more information on the appropriate contact page.